You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, why we have trouble with financial literacy and what we can do about it. Right now, we're looking at the challenges facing teachers in urban classrooms and a unique program in Wisconsin that's helping to train those teachers. One of our next guests is a teacher who grew up in Milwaukee's 53206 zip code, an area that's gotten well known, unfortunately, for gangs and violence, a place where a lot of kids end up in prison, fewer than usual finish school. But she says that growing up in one of the country's most notorious neighborhoods is what motivated her to become an educator. She's now part of a program that gives teachers the tools to flourish in urban school settings. Lalunionette Johnson is with us. She's a teacher leader at Milwaukee College Prep School. Lalunionette, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Hannah Hensel. She's program director at the Center for Urban Teaching. Hannah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And both of them, by the way, principals in the Center for Urban Teaching's recent summer school program at Milwaukee College Prep. Lalunionette, as we just heard, you grew up in that tough neighborhood, that tough zip code. Now you're teaching and teaching teachers. How did your background growing up there inspire you to get into teaching?
So my background really inspired me because I look at the different challenges that we face in the neighborhood, and I also looked at I saw a lot of hopelessness with different people that I lived with or that I encountered. I even recall times when thinking I had to really consider if I wanted to use correct English and be teased or not. And so I just went to a point that I realized I was able to make a difference for my family and for my children. And the key to that was the education that I received. That gave me that option to travel, to see things, to be able to experience things other than some of the negative things that I experienced in my neighborhood. It's still a wonderful place with wonderful people, but education was that key to give me options and access to other things.
Now that you're looking at this as a teacher, what are the unique challenges that that teachers in an area like, say, the 53206 zip code face?
I think when we're teaching our kids in urban environments, we have to think about the socioeconomic differences and some of the challenges that we may face in our neighborhood. A lot of students that I've encountered might not have education at the top of their mind because they're thinking about where their next meal is going to come from. They're thinking about if they're going to be safe when they get home at night. So you have to take those things into consideration and understand that, say, for example, if a student is acting out in classroom, it might not be that they don't want to be there, but they've got some other issues or things on their mind. It's not that they're not capable. It's not that their parents aren't active and wanting to be involved. Parents may be working two or three jobs. So we have to really get to know those kids, establish relationships with them to really motivate and encourage them and help them be able to have access to that education that we're even offering in the classroom for them.
And Hannah, how does the Center for Urban Teaching try to help teachers deal with the issues that these students are facing?
Well, CFOT really exists to do three things, and that's to identify, prepare, and support high-performing teachers for our city. And so we aim to identify aspiring teachers who feel they're called to serve our city first and foremost. There's not a lot of people out there that are running to the city to become teachers. And so it's part of our job and our calling to find those teachers who will be well equipped through our preparation of workshops, conferences, touring best practices in schools, and provide them practical experience with our children in our city where they get to build those relationships. You can't just read about relationships in a textbook and think you understand where our students are coming from. It's really important to have hands-on experience with our children. And so we're excited that our summer school program was able to provide that.
And Hannah, where are you looking for these aspiring teachers? Are we talking college level?
Absolutely. And so we start looking for teachers as young as freshman year in college. We encourage aspiring teachers to get involved as soon as possible. The majority of our population for summer school teachers is freshmen through seniors in college, although we also provide opportunities for teachers who are currently in the field who just want a reset or want to renew their toolkit and get ready for the upcoming school year.
Now, both of you worked with these teachers this summer, as I understand it, in the summer school. Lalunionette, what kind of experience did they have? What kind of help did you provide them that's going to help them when they become for real teachers later on?
Oh, excellent question. Quite a few different ways. One, beginning with a lesson plan and lesson plan preparation, and then actually going through and doing a walk through a model classroom, for example, pretending that the students are there and going through that lesson so they have experience delivering that lesson before the kids arrive. Once they are with their students, observing and giving feedback from that lesson that was taught, looking at the data from their lesson and seeing how we may need to adjust some things, giving advice on how to properly manage their classrooms, whatever areas they may struggle in, giving support and coaching in those areas.
And Hannah, this is a real classroom, really. This is summer school with actual kids participating, right?
Absolutely. So this summer, we were able to provide summer school in 10 different schools throughout Milwaukee area. And through that, we were able to train 220 aspiring teachers and 32 leader candidates. So it definitely is real. It's impacting not only the teachers and leaders, but also our students, because we know that summer learning loss is a real thing. And so we're seeing not just summer learning loss be decreased, but we're seeing summer learning gains. So there's a huge impact through the summer school program for multiple levels of people.
Lalunionette, you mentioned classroom management. And I know if you talk to a teacher in any district, anywhere, that's one of the big issues. And people don't always feel like they're prepared for it on the first day. What are some of the skills, the techniques, the, I guess, thought processes that you use to help those teachers?
There are a number of different strategies. One is to have a plan in place, and that's something that's going to work anywhere. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So having a classroom management system set up, some choose to use color charts, just a way of, one, having a visual where students can realize, like, how they're doing, where they are, and also there are, of course, incentives if they're doing well. I mean, it's not a method of so much of trying to bribe students to do what they should do, but there are some incentives towards the end of the day or end of the week. But just having those set up and having those in place prior to the students coming, and then using that system that you have set up. That might be an issue when you're new to a classroom where you may have thought through and you may have planned, but if you don't utilize your classroom management system, then you'll find that you'll have troubles in that classroom.
We're talking about the Center for Urban Teaching. That's in the Milwaukee area, an effort to give aspiring teachers practice training to become good teachers in urban school settings. We have Lalunionette Johnson with us. She's a teacher leader in this program. Also, Hannah Hensel, a program director at the Center for Urban Teaching. Hannah, give us a little of the history of the program. What was the inspiration for this in the first place?
Sure. In 2001, the Center for Urban Teaching, also known as CFUT, C-F-U-T, was developed out of the a college professor. Two college professors decided that theory and reading things in textbooks just weren't enough to drive systemic change. And they got together with just three undergraduates at the time and decided to do something about it, that there was enough pointing of the finger, enough excuses of who's to blame for what, and they decided that they were going to be change agents. And so they started bringing people around on tours to see high performance in action in urban settings. And then in 2010, the first summer school site was launched. I was one of the eight teachers. Krista DeBoer, who's now the executive for CFUT, was the principal at the time. And so we're seeing rapid growth from then till now at about 30% to 40% per year. And we know that the need is great, and we're here to answer that need.
So that was 6 years ago. So some of the graduates of this program must be out there teaching. What kind of things are you hearing from them, Hannah?
Absolutely. And as one of the graduates of the program, a product of the program, I'm really excited about the need that's being answered and the data that we're seeing, as 89% of our alumni continue to serve in urban schools for four more years, which is quite frankly unheard of, as half of most people drop out in any setting, suburban, urban, rural. And so to have 89% staying and serving our community is awesome. We're seeing things like more growth in reading and math on standardized tests. And we're seeing that our teachers are getting hired immediately. And so a lot of great results. Student achievement and retention of top talent is really exciting.
Lalunionette, urban teaching is not portrayed in the media, in pop culture, anywhere really as a fun, rewarding kind of thing. I've heard both of you, I think, use a word kind of like calling, though. Would you make the case for people who are thinking of doing this, being a teacher in an urban setting, that maybe it could be their calling?
Definitely. And, you know, I find it extremely rewarding. Very rewarding. When you can go into a classroom and work with students and make a difference every day and know that you have transformed a mindset. So you're looking at academics, knowledge, and character paving that road to college and beyond. So working in an urban environment, you get to do both. And it is extremely rewarding when you see that you've changed. You've planted a seed that can turn a life around. Even if you don't see that change that school year, you know that you've planted a seed that the next teacher is going to build on, that's going to build on, that ultimately will improve our society as a whole.
Hannah, what's next for the Center for Urban Teaching? What are the plans for the future?
Well, CIFA believes that teacher quality is the number one determining factor in student achievement. So it's our aim to continue to identify, prepare, and support the right teachers with the essential skills and honestly, the mindset, the disposition to be a key to dramatic change. So CIFA's identified a path for the preparation of new and beginning urban teachers that reinforces that confidence, that competence. But the challenge is really to expand the number of teacher candidates participating in the program to meet this really urgent need to immediately transform our city. So down the road, our vision is to go from 50 alumni in the field to 500 in 5 years. And so that was by 2020. So right now we have 100 alumni in the field serving our students, and we're looking to grow that number by 30 to 40%.
Lununette, I want to bring things back home for you to that 53206 zip code you came out of. You're a teacher now. Are you hoping that these teachers getting this urban training maybe are going to inspire the kids in those districts to be the next generation of teachers, a school-to-school prison, school-to-school pipeline instead of the school-to-prison pipeline we hear about sometimes?
I think my experience, having worked in the classroom for a number of years, has been that once students encounter a teacher that's loved them, a teacher that cares about them, a teacher that doesn't give up on them, they say, I want to become a teacher. Mm. So for those who choose that route, most definitely, of course, we want to also support our students in whichever career choices they have, but we want them to realize ultimately that they do have options, that you do have the choice to have a career, that you can go to college and beyond, you can become an entrepreneur, you can make a difference in your city. So being that strong teacher, of course, sets that foundation for that student.
Lununette, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Hannah, thanks to you as well.
Thanks so much.
We've been talking to Lununette Johnson and Hannah Hensel. They are both involved in the Center for Urban Teaching. They've been participating in the summer school program there at the Milwaukee Prep College. Coming up after the news, a lot of us fall short when it comes to financial literacy. Our guest shares some steps we can take to get our minds around our financial well-being. By the way, we're inviting you to share your thoughts about the Ideas Network. Tell us about your favorite shows, why you listen, how you listen to the Ideas Network. The survey takes about 10 minutes, and you can find it right now at wpr.org/survey. Thanks for your feedback. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.